Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our friend Barstool Mincy is officially back on the show. It's been a couple years. He is the host of Wake Up Mincy. He does fantastic work for Barstool Sports. Again, our friend Barstool Mincy. What's going on, man? Appreciate you taking the time. It's been a while.
Yeah, good. Good to be back on. Enjoying seeing the SEC Unfiltered brand continuing to build. And, yeah, happy to do it. Staying super busy. Obviously, we saw UConn win the national title last night in college basketball, college baseball now, you know, entering week five of conference play already. Man, that was quick. Following that, and then spring football's going on, so already kind of, you know, the Ole Miss part of me already looking forward to the biggest season, really most hype season in school history coming this fall. So certainly thinking about that already.
So, Mincy, how'd you clean up in the NCAA tournament? You do pretty well gambling, or what'd it look like?
Did real well. I caught this crazy heater first weekend that was very lucky, but it started with I had Purdue minus 27 against Grambling, and Purdue was up 25 with like 15 seconds left. And instead of running out the clock, this walk-on who'd scored 3 points in 4 years launched this three and hit it. And, like, right when he hit that, I went on this, like, 11-game winning streak that was just literally insane. I just couldn't lose on the Friday-Saturday week one, but did really well week one. And then I took UConn last night in the title game, so I had a good tournament for sure.
I was going to say, I think I saw the article – I forget which publication released it, but said that – bench players are receiving like death threats because they're coming in the game late and they're scoring points like the Purdue game that cost people one way or another. It's just wild, but always feels good to be on the right side of those bets.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, some luck involved. I also had one of my favorite luckiest bets I've ever hit was I got everybody at the Barstool Gambling Cave on the over in Creighton, Oregon, and it was 62-62 going to overtime. It was under by like 24 and a half points. And through the first overtime, it was still under, but it went to double OT and hit double OT. So, skill game there for sure.
You got to love that. Well, Mincy, let's talk a little bit Ole Miss. Obviously, you're a Rebel. I want to go back first and talk about that football season 2023. Cap it off winning the Peach Bowl against Penn State. I had to get my bowl games confused there. Winning the Peach Bowl against Penn State. First 11-win season in school history for Ole Miss football, which I was kind of surprised by that. I mean, I'm not saying Ole Miss has been one of the dominant programs in college football history, but I mean, been a solid program, but accomplishing a first. What was the 2023 season like for you? And what was maybe some of your favorite memories from what was a magical season in Oxford?
The season was unbelievable, but my favorite memory, I mean, easily, I'm a Louisiana guy and I used to work for ESPN Baton Rouge. My dad went to LSU. So, you know, I'm kind of one of those people where the LSU game counts as like six games to me. And Ole Miss is losing 49-40 with 5 minutes left and came back and won a heart stopper 55-49 in Oxford. And when that pass got batted down at the end zone at the end. And, you know, literally I did a video that Monday, like the world's a better place than Ole Miss beats LSU. And, you know, after they won that game, I was like, the whole rest of the season's a free roll because of how much that game, winning that game means to me. And that was a top 3-5 favorite Ole Miss game I've ever attended. So that easily was my number one moment, was coming back and beating LSU like that in Oxford. I mean, that just, like I said, that Ole Miss LSU game, I've been to 22 out of the last 25. That Ole Miss LSU game is my biggest weekend of the year. And I mean, obviously the Egg Bowl's going to always be a huge deal too, but growing up in Louisiana, that Ole Miss LSU game means everything to me. And so that was my number one moment. The A&M game was a thriller. Blocking that field goal at the end, winning 38-35. That was obviously a great moment. And then the second half of that Penn State game, I mean, Penn State was like a 5.5-point favorite. That was one of the craziest point spreads I've seen. But Ole Miss just beating the hell out of them in the second half. I mean, just destroyed them and the momentum that built. And then, you know, watching with that, you know, you saw the transfer portal, obviously. And, you know, it feels like Ole Miss almost has an all-star team out there next year. Off what the Grove Collective was able to do in the transfer portal. And so, you know, the excitement's never been higher. Going to the 12-team playoff next year, I mean, you got to think if you go 10-2, you'll probably make it now. And that's nice, too, because the thing with college football is the margin for error is so small. But now knowing you can lose two games and probably still get in there is pretty great. So optimism's never been higher in Oxford. And the Grove Bowl's this weekend. It's a 7-on-7 deal. But you know, all that does is just gets me pumped for the fall.
Is it 7-on-7? I don't think I knew that. And we've talked
about it. They announced that the last couple of days. They're going
really?
Okay. But you just can't risk it, you know.
It's yeah, like, that makes sense.
Yeah, you just can't risk any injuries in the spring game, and they don't want to show too much. So, yeah. So yeah, just excited for the fall. Kind of already looking at my schedule. Ole Miss at South Carolina, October the 5th. Certainly, you know, on my radar. The Juice Wells returned to Columbia, which I know is going to have a little animosity to it. So that'll be a lot of fun. But Ole Miss's schedule, looking ahead, the four non-conference games are super weak this year. At Wake Forest is the toughest one, but it's like Middle Tennessee, an FCS game, and Georgia Southern. So it really is going to feel like September's kind of preseason in a way. And then September 29th, Kentucky comes to Oxford, and it really cranks up from there.
Mincy, how much more satisfying does it make it watching the demise of Mississippi State and what Brandon Walker's got to deal with?
It's fun. Even though I almost wish they could. I say it's fun, though. What I will say is this. It's hard to reveal too much in it because of Mike Leach passing and what a legend he was to the game. It was a lot more fun when he was there and they were, like, competitive, like 7-9 wins for the Egg Bowl. And, you know, I mean, it's definitely always fun to see State struggling for sure. But, you know, I would rather Leach still be around, you know. And that kind of makes it weird to, like, reveal in it when that's what caused it.
And then Kiffin hires Zach Arnett, which felt like kind of an evil genius move. So,
yeah, I love that hire, actually.
Yeah. No, he's a good defensive coordinator. Very good.
Honestly, as good as the Ole Miss offense has been the last few years, Mississippi State's defense gave him problems every year. Yeah. I mean, the Egg Bowl is 17-7 this year. All the last 3 years, Ole Miss has kind of struggled on offense against them. So Kiffin obviously hired him just because he respects him so much. And, I mean, this staff is just loaded. I love what Ole Miss has done. You know, they've got one of the best staffs in the country now, and I thought that was a great move. I had Joe Cox as tight end coach. I really like that move. And Brian Brown coming back to help coach the secondary. I mean, it's a loaded staff. And, you know, it's fascinating because college football, like, no one knows what the future holds. Everything's changing with the NIL world. Like, who knows what the landscape's going to look like in 3 to 5 years. Heck, the Big Ten and SEC could be their own thing at that point. But Ole Miss is kind of, you know, they see their window. They're all in with the 12-team playoff, and I've really never seen a program be more all in for one season than what Ole Miss is 2024.
Mincy, where does the Grove rank when it comes to tailgating experiences? And I ask you this because we will be going on like an SEC Unfiltered tour. I'm going to be seeing a lot of stadiums and campuses that I've never seen before. Ole Miss, Vaught-Hemingway, certainly going to be on that list. And again, I've never even been to Oxford or been to the state of Mississippi, much less an Ole Miss game. So, first, the Grove, the tailgating experience. We've heard a lot about it, but where does it rank now?
Oh, it ranks at right at or near the top. It's just so unique. The thing is, it's different than every other tailgating experience, and people love to hate on it because it's so ranked so high. But, I mean, I don't see the problem with a bunch of beautiful women walking around a gorgeous area campus on a set fall Saturday. The only negative on the Grove is not being able to have the grills there, but – I mean, I think it's a fair trade-off because it's too small of an area to fit that. Whereas, you know, you see, and I know Columbia is like that too, where it's more spread out all over the campus. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's there at the top for a reason. And, yeah, it's awesome. But what's fun about the Ole Miss thing now is, you know, Ole Miss, the Grove was always ranked high, but stadium atmosphere at Ole Miss, the Vault was always used to be ranked, you know, toward the bottom of the SEC. Mm-hmm. And they have changed that completely. The last few years – you know, they put a new speaker system in there and then they bowled it around years ago. And, you know, they've got that thing turned up with drone shows and laser shows and lights. And it's crazy how different the game atmosphere is now. They've kind of just made it the whole brand. And, like, for example, I had one of my best LSU friends come to the game this fall, and he hadn't been to an Ole Miss game in like 15, 20 years. And he used to bag on our stadium atmosphere. And after the game, he was like, "I don't know what happened in Oxford, Mississippi." He's like, "That was so turned up." He's like, "I can't even believe it." And that's what's awesome now is seeing that game atmosphere catch up to the Grove. It's just for the overall brand. I mean, it gets so turned up at our stadium. And, you know, that's a newer thing in the last few years for sure, but it's amazing to see.
Mincy, Lane Kiffin has been anointed the portal king, deservedly so. Your thoughts on what Ole Miss did in the transfer portal, adding just not just impact players, but really it felt like superstars all over the field.
Yeah, so Lane started before the NIL stuff came out. He was hitting that portal, and it's brilliant because you look at, like, Ole Miss historically. Like, I know Freeze pulled in that top five class with Robert Kubicki and all those guys and Treadwell. But historically, Ole Miss hadn't been able to get those five stars up against LSU and Bama and Georgia. So if you can't get those guys, find another way. And, you know, when you look at, like, the transfer portal, you're bringing in, you know, the difference between being an 18-year-old five-star and a 21, 22-year-old all, you know, AAC guy or whatever. I mean, you're dealing, you know, think about the maturity level difference between 18 and 22. I mean, that's like boys and men. I mean, that's such a crazy maturity level difference. And, you know, he was all on top of that, you know, ahead of everybody. But then, you know, when Kiffin was flirting with going to Auburn after the 22 season, you know, there was a big meeting and stuff. And, you know, he was like, look, if I'm staying here, I got to have the resources to compete from the Grove Collective and NIL. And what's been fascinating to see to me is the Ole Miss support from the Grove Collective. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're dealing with a fan base that's just starving to win. Because, you know, similar to South Carolina, who's definitely had some good years, especially the Spurrier thing, you know, you're always like that cut below the elite programs, and it drives the fans nuts because they want to will do anything to win. And so you've seen the Ole Miss fan base has just given huge money to the NIL and embraced it more than anyone. And Walker Jones, who runs our Grove Collective, has just done a spectacular job organizing it and putting it all under one umbrella and, you know, giving Lane the resources he needs to succeed. And you saw it, you know, you look at this offseason, when you go get Walter Nolan, who's the number one player overall in the portal, but not just getting him. I mean, you know, you get Pooh Paul, who's the number one linebacker from Arkansas. Obviously, Juice Wells was the number one receiver from South Carolina. And but even beyond that, you know, Prince, the edge rusher from Florida, was second team All-SEC last year. You got a bunch of guys in the secondary. But then the stuff that's not being talked about that I think is going to be the most important this season is what Ole Miss did on the offensive line. They got two starters on Washington's line, you know, two of those guards that, you know, started the whole year and played in the national championship. And they had a super elite offensive line. They got a interior center slash guard from Southern Miss. It was the number one ranked guy O-lineman in the portal. They got a tackle, Diego Pounds from North Carolina. You know, you're really looking, and they've got two other tackles coming back, but you almost got a whole new offensive line. You know, on the defensive line, there was a big moment last year where I went to the Ole Miss-Georgia game in Athens when Georgia was. I mean, it was a bloodlet. I mean, Georgia won 56-17, but that was the eye-opening moment where when you looked at the field, Ole Miss's linemen were just so much smaller. Mm. And after it, they just said, hey, if we're going to compete for a national championship, we got to get bigger. We got to get stronger. And that's what Ole Miss has done in the trenches. And you still got Begeese and Jared Ivey coming back for senior years, plus all the guys they've added. And they've got, you know, two five-star D linemen freshmen from Mississippi coming in, Kamarian Franklin being one of them. So all of a sudden, where Ole Miss, you know, they've had the scheme on offense, the tempo and all that stuff, but now they got the dudes in the trenches. And, you know, you look at SEC football and like what Bama and Georgia have, how big those guys are, you know, that's what you got to have to compete at the top level. And now Ole Miss has those guys. And so there's just no, you know, there's no getting around it. I mean, I don't think this is a fluke that they're Ole Miss is like 14-1 to win the title going the year, but they're going to be favored in every game except Georgia at home, and then at LSU, I think might be around Pick'em, something like that, and they'll be favored in the other 10. So, you know, there's a ton of optimism. Also, having a three-year starting quarterback in Jackson Dart certainly makes you feel good about it. Obviously, a lot was made about Quinshon Judkins transferring to Ohio State, but, you know, I mean, that's just part of the deal. And, you know, the NFL, it's kind of like the NFL thing, though. I mean, you love having elite running backs, but they are a little bit more replaceable. Mm. And, you know, Judkins wanted – a crazy amount of money. And so, and you know, there's some stuff there behind the scenes. And so I understood why Ole Miss moved on, and they got Ulysses Bentley, who had a great year last year. And Logan Diggs transferred from LSU, but he tore his ACL in the bowl game. So I don't know what you expect on him this year, but I love the move. I thought he was really good in Baton Rouge, and, you know, we'll see on the running back stuff. I heard more may be coming. So when the portal reopens, you know, I think you're going to be seeing more of a platoon at running back, but the receiving core with Juice Wells and Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins and Deion Smith, who was the number one JUCO receiver, finally getting on campus. I mean, the receiving core is loaded. Caden Priestcorn had like an iconic game in the Peach Bowl. I was worried he did so well in the Peach Bowl he wouldn't come back. But he's coming back too. And the amount of experience on this team is crazy, and the expectations are super high. And you know, I don't think it's a fluke. I mean, I think this is a really good football team, and I expect them to win.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Mincy, we've mentioned the portal obviously a ton, and you mentioned how the NFL vibe feeling of what happened with Quinshon Judkins, and I think a lot of folks will look at what's going on with the portal NIL and say it's turning into NFL light. You know, when you're in a position as an Ole Miss fan where you've benefited so heavily from the portal NIL, I guess it's easy to say that you love those things and love the changes in college football. But even Lane Kiffin has come out, and I don't think he's really a fan of what college football is now, but you know, he knows what you have to do to win big. What are your thoughts on it? How do you feel about where we are in college football, you know, with the portal? Like you mentioned, that window's about to open up. And, I mean, it's, you know, from some of these national guys, they're talking about it's going to be pure chaos, and people like Bama and some of these others are going to be picking players off. Maybe Ole Miss is going to do the same. Your thoughts on the portal, NIL, and just the overall state of college football and where it's at and where it's headed?
Well, look – I'm all about the players getting paid. I love that. These guys are giving their bodies. You know, you look at pro football, NFL, you got 32 teams with 53 active roster spots and then seven more non-active. I mean, you're talking about a little over 1,800 players in the world in the NFL. And when you look at college football with 85 scholarships and, you know, you got 130 D1 teams and like 60-something in the Power Five, think about the just math of how many people that is that will not be making it to pro football. And so I'm all about the players getting their money. You know, we have these TV deals. There's plenty to go around. So I love that. I'm sure what Lane's referring to, and I understand this, is like maybe having it regulated a little bit better. And I think the biggest thing is they got to – and now that the 12-team playoffs come, they got to quit lying to themselves about the bowl game thing, because when that portal reopens at the end of the season, everybody's worried about the rosters for next year, and the bowl game thing has just become an exhibition game, and it'll only become that more and more with the playoffs expanding from 4 to 12. I like Danny Cannell's idea. I think you do week zero bowl games. I think it would be a lot of fun if you had these like national matchups all over the country in week zero to just kind of start the season. And then fans would travel a lot more because coming off the summer, everybody would save up to travel to the opening bowl game as opposed to having them over Christmas and New Year's where it's like so much more difficult. So I think the bowl game thing is the biggest thing that's got to change. You know, I think the writing's on the wall on that front. And I wouldn't be surprised if something – I don't know if they'll do the week zero thing, but I think something's coming on that front. But, you know, it's just a difficult thing on the portal in football because you got to have the guys transfer before the second semester. Like the basketball one, it's crazy that it's open during the NCAA tournament. Like I think the basketball one, like why not just close it till after the Final Four, because you don't need to transfer during March or beginning of April. So that one doesn't make sense to me. But I'm curious to see, you know, I don't know if there'll be a salary cap or what they do to change it. But I do think it needs to be regulated a little more because, like you said, it's the Wild West. And then especially with the contracts, you know, do the guys fulfill them? Do you pay them at the end when they, you know, after they play their full year, or couple years or whatever the deal is? Because a lot of these schools, you know, I know a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. You know, you're seeing a lot of these schools are offering these like 2 and 3 year deals now where they're like, we'll give you 100K for the first 2 years and like 500 for the third year. Well, does that mean those contracts are etched in sand? Like they say they're giving you that now, but are you actually going to get to your third year because you can turn these rosters over? And so, you know, I think there's got to be a way it gets regulated a little more.
So, Mincy, we've talked about the roster, which I think it's fair to say this is the most talented roster on paper in Ole Miss football history. We talked about the schedule. College football playoff or bust. That's what I'm getting to. That's got to be the mentality in Oxford, right? It feels like less than 10 wins. You know, I was asked the other day, you know, could you see Ole Miss going 8-4, 9-3? I said, I feel like less than 10 wins is going to be a failure. I mean, is that fair?
I can't believe we're living in a world where we're saying if Ole Miss doesn't win 10 games, it's a disappointment. That is crazy because, as you said, they just had their first 11-win season in school history. But two of the last 3 years, they went 10-2. Matt Corral got them to the Sugar Bowl, and they got hurt in that Baylor loss. But, like, two of the last 3 years, they would have made a 12-team playoff. I think they would have come in around the 11, you know, between the 10 and 12 seed both years. And those teams are going to be as good as they were. Nothing compared to what we're going to see this fall. And then when you also just look at the way the schedule works now, you know, Bama's no longer, because of the schedule changing in the SEC, you know, Bama and Auburn aren't on the Ole Miss schedule anymore. When you're looking at the old breaking it down, I mean, they got Kentucky at home, Mississippi State at home, Georgia at home, and Oklahoma at home. And, you know, I actually personally think Oklahoma is going to struggle this year. I really do. They got to replace their whole offensive line. Jackson Arnold has got a ton of talent, but he's still very young. And I think Oklahoma in the trenches and on defense is about to – they're going to get hit by this SEC thing and learn how physical it is. So I don't think they're going to be – I think they're going to struggle a little bit this year. And then the road games, you know, obviously at LSU is going to be really, really tough. I mean, especially because Ole Miss won last year. And LSU has a bye week in front of that one. So that October 12th date's like triple start on my calendar already. But the other ones, you know, at South Carolina, at Florida in November, at Arkansas, I mean, you're going to be favored in them. Not saying that means they're going to be easy to win, because South Carolina, you know, historically is a really, really tough underdog. And I know how crazy that stadium atmosphere is. I mean, heck, I remember the last time Ole Miss was top five preseason. I went to that Thursday night game when South Carolina won. So you can't take any of it for granted. That's for sure. But you got to feel really good about it going in. And when you look at this Kiffin era, what's been different than the Freeze era, even when they were good, Kiffin wins all the games he's supposed to win. Ole Miss hadn't gotten upset at all as a favorite under Kiffin. You know, they hadn't won a ton as an underdog, but the games they're supposed to win, they win. And if they just do that, you're looking at 10 wins and a playoff spot. So, yeah, very, very excited for a lot of reasons. That's for sure.
Mincy, outlook of the SEC outside of Ole Miss. I guess the very obvious storyline that jumps out is Alabama and Kalen DeBoer. It's been weird, honestly, seeing the videos from practices, like the culture change. Like, it's so much different, which good on Kalen DeBoer for embracing himself and being himself. But I know it's something that fans of the Crimson Tide are having to get used to. And I think many of us who have followed Alabama football are having to get used to. Your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer and Tuscaloosa, how they're going to fare this year?
It's hard to tell. I do like the Kane Womack defensive coordinator hire a lot. I thought that was a really smart move, too, with DeBoer not having any South ties. And, you know, Kane Womack obviously did a great job at South Alabama as their head coach the last few years. So I thought that was a really smart move. You know, I think he's going to do it. I mean, he's a great football coach. He won everywhere he's been. I mean, getting Washington to the national championship last year, I mean, that was – I mean, you know, I mean, Washington's what, a top 20, top 25 program, and – he almost won the whole damn thing there. But the one thing that's a concern is just he doesn't have any South ties. And so, you know, how will that impact the recruiting and all that? I mean, Ole Miss has been poaching some of those Bama guys because Pete Golding recruited them there to play defense. So, you know, it's weird to know what Bama's going to be this year. I do think Milroe, you know, we saw how much he stepped forward last year. So that's a heck of a start. But, you know, you got to think there's going to be some kind of regression. Now, how much, you know, I don't know. I mean, does that mean 8-4? Does that mean 10-2? Well, time's going to tell. But I do think you got to think, I mean, the standard's just been so good. You got to think there's going to be some kind of a step back here.
Mincy, before we get you out of here, I do want to mention basketball and baseball for Ole Miss, because on the basketball side, Chris Beard, your thoughts on year one for him? I mean, it looked like he may be taking that that Kentucky job or maybe Arkansas job that was opening up, and he's going to be staying in Oxford. You feel like Ole Miss basketball is in good hands with his leadership? Because I know he's had his off the court stuff, but on the court, I mean, he's one of the best in the game.
Oh yeah, I feel great about it. I mean, obviously this year Ole Miss played a weak non-conference schedule, and so probably got a little too optimistic.
They were the story of college basketball for a while.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And but, you know, that they probably got a little too hyped up there, and they definitely kind of collapsed down the stretch. But, you know, Beard, I mean, he's going to get his guy. The thing is that it comes down to the NIL world, and clearly the Grove Collective is going to throw down and give him the money to go get the guys he wants. So, yeah, I feel great about Beard. Great. I think – you know, give it time. I expect next year to take a big step forward and hopefully be an NCAA tournament team in year two. Thrilled he embraced staying in Oxford. And just, you know, we got to mention Keith Carter as athletic director. You know, he's an Ole Miss guy, obviously played basketball there in the mid to late 90s. But, man, he the job he's done is just unbelievable. Getting Kiffin and Beard, and even what Coach O has built on the women's basketball side of a school that doesn't have the most tradition on that front, you know, made Sweet 16 last year and top three in the SEC this year. That's going well too. So I feel like, you know, everybody talks about Lane and Beard, but you got to mention what Keith's done. I mean, he's, you know, I like the hire when they made it when Ross Bjork left, but I thought he knew, like, the Ole Miss culture well, but I didn't realize it was going to be at this level. I mean, he's doing one of the best jobs as an athletic director in the country.
And then Mincy on the diamond, I have to ask, did you sell your soul for that national championship 2 years ago? Because based off what we've seen on the field after that, the 2023 Rebels, and then this year, not quite to that level, but the downfall of Ole Miss baseball since winning the title, I'm like, what did Mincy sacrifice to make that happen? Because, and I'm sure you don't care, right? Your team wins a national championship. It's like, hey, I got a 5-year window where I'm pretty content with my sports team.
Yeah, so that's kind of my attitude on it. I mean, obviously, you know, no one likes losing.
Right.
And I hate seeing it. I had almost 3-9 right now in the SEC, and there were 6-24 last year. I mean, that's crazy. You're 9-33, your last 42. But I was chasing the dragon with Ole Miss baseball for over 20 years. I was part of left field tailgate and just super into it. And, you know, that program was so good and so consistent for so many years, but just always struggled in the postseason, made it to Omaha in 2014, lost, was like 1-5 in super regionals until the 2022 season. And, you know, here's the thing. They were 14-16 in the SEC the year they won the national title. They got the 64th bid, and then they caught lightning during the tournament with the right leadership and the 1-2 combo of Dylan Deutsche and Hunter Elliott on the mound. They went 10-0 in those games they started. But, I mean, I had that moment in Omaha where I was like, look, I mean, I've been chasing this 20 years. I got to see this national title. What will be, obviously, hope Yanko can rally them and, you know, salvage something of this season. But, I mean, I still care and love it. I'm not saying I don't, but, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. That's for sure after what happened 2 years ago. Because, you know, to win your first national championship, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Mincy, final thing, and we'll get you out of here. What's Dave Portnoy going to do for you if Ole Miss wins the national title in football? Anything special, you think? Or is he he's probably going to – who knows? Probably try to belittle it. I have no idea. I'm just curious. I feel like there's got to be something.
Well, Dave loves Lane, and Lane's a fan of Dave. So just having that relationship is great with Barstool and Ole Miss. And so, you know, I feel like hopefully we can get some Lane and Dave stuff going content-wise this year. You know, certainly knock on wood, hope so. But I think Ole Miss winning and then Dave and Lane's relationship being a solid one, you know, I feel really good about what's coming this fall on that front. And, heck, Dave supported the Grove Collective. We sold these brick watches for the collective and raised a bunch of money. You know, Dave hadn't done that deal for any other school. So I feel really good about everything on the Dave Ole Miss front. And just what I'm excited about is getting the Barstool show to the Grove sometime this fall. And so I'm pushing hard for that behind the scenes right now and trying to figure that out.
I feel like that's going to be a must, especially with the Georgia game, right? Being on the Grove as well. That's got to happen. I think that's
The Georgia game would be the
first time. Be first time too.
Georgia games November 9th, Oklahoma game October 26th, I think is an option as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, got to happen. And then, you know, it's interesting because the way the playoffs are designed, that first round being the 5-8 seeds hoping on camp, hosted on campus games December 20th. I mean, I know this is crazy, but you'd almost, I mean, I know you have to win another game, but just having a playoff game on your campus, I'd almost rather be 5-8 than 1-4 just to get that experience on the campus playoff game. And I wish they could work it out. I know the bowl games you have to figure it out, but I wish that second round could be on campus too, just so the 1-4 seeds could host a game too. But obviously, they're going to keep all their tie-ins to the bowls intact. But yeah, I just can't even imagine having an on-campus playoff game in Oxford, Mississippi. I believe that would be like December 20th weekend if it happened. So, you know, would certainly love to see that. I mean, like I said, I if you asked me if you'd rather Ole Miss be the 4 or the 5, I'd rather be the 5 and have an on-campus game, especially if you're playing the 12, which is probably going to be like the best G5 team, you know.
Would be nothing more electric, certainly, than a home playoff game at Vaught-Hemingway with the Grove.
Crazy.
Can't even imagine it.
Yeah, I know. What a world we're living in that we're even discussing this. Shout out to Lane, though. I mean, you got to just – the job Lane's done in Oxford is just – I mean, it's unbelievable. Not just the winning, but the brand stuff. I mean, Ole Miss, you know, after the freeze era was in all that trouble and – you know, had some really leaner years than Matt Luke. And what, you know, just a lot of product of all the trouble they were in. And Lane came in that first year, and even though Ole Miss went 5-5 the first year, they led the nation in scoring and offense. And he just built this super exciting, fun brand. And, you know, the way he's used social media and the way the Ole Miss video team does stuff. I mean, it's just, it's a whole thing with the Grove and stadium. And, you know, it's just, it's turned into just one of the most electric brands in sports. And, you know, I'm glad to just be a tiny part of it. That's for sure.
Mincy, always a pleasure, my friend. I think it had been about 3 years since you and I last spoke of the airwaves, so let's definitely do it again soon. Glad to catch up again. One more time, let folks know you're doing fantastic work with Barstool Sports. You're a staple in their content offering, man. Again, keep crushing it. But let folks know one more time, just in case maybe they're unfamiliar with your daily live show or where you're at on social media, let folks know where they can find all your work.
Yeah, so Tuesday through Thursday, 8 a.m. Central, I'm going to wake up Mincy from the Barstool office. Hoping to take it on the road sometime. Working on trying to do it from SEC tourney tailgate in Hoover would be really fun
because they might run into you down there. Then
they got those 9 a.m. games because they play games all day. So an 8 a.m. show, like my Louisiana buddies take a trip every year and do a huge tailgate outside the left field, like parking lot. So come by there if you're there. But hopefully trying to do something like that. I'm gonna be at the SEC tourney. I think I'll go opening weekend of Omaha. It's kind of what I'm looking at on the college baseball front. Right now. But yeah, Tuesday through Thursday and then day to day here, man, I don't even know what I'm going to be. I'm involved with the Yak a lot. I'm on gambling streams and then we have all kinds of other stuff. I mean, just it's the traveling circus. I never know what's going to happen on a day to day basis, but follow that Stool Mincy for all the fun on Twitter and Instagram.
Just trying to stay out of Dave Portnoy's doghouse.
The good thing is this week he had that 600K future bet on UConn to win the title and he won $2.1 million. He'll be in the office. We've got a mini golf tournament that he's going to be part of Wednesday and Thursday. But, you know, Dave, I was around him after Michigan won the title too. And it's a lot more pleasant when he's hot gambling. I'm hoping this week is a good
day. You got to get him to throw a future on Ole Miss football. I think there's a lot of value in that.
I'm going to try. You know, what I really want is for his dog, Miss Peaches, to meet Juice Kiffin because I feel like Miss Peaches and Juice Kiffin are –
The collab we all need.
Yeah, the two most famous dogs on social media right now. So I would imagine a Dave and Lane walking their dogs thing would be unreal.
Mincy, always a pleasure, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time. We'll definitely
Let me know if you're coming to Hoover because I'll definitely
We'll be there. We'll link up.
All right, sounds good.
All right, brother. We'll cut it there, man. Mincy, that was awesome, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Enjoyed coming on. And, you know, maybe if you do come to Hoover or something in front of the SEC tournament, I'd be all about.
Yeah, I will definitely be there. I'm not exactly sure which days because I don't think I'm going to spend the entire week there or anything.
No, I will. My thing with Hoover, what I do is I like going for the – you know, I go usually when –
You see all the teams. All the teams.
Yeah, I usually go the beginning part and then off on Friday. Like, I know I'll be there. I'll be
there.
That's
probably what I'll do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually get it's a fun midweek thing. And it's honestly, it's a really good networking thing, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think look for me to be there like Tuesday through Thursday.
Okay. Yeah. We'll definitely link up, man. Cause that's what I was thinking also. Like I said, I don't know. I've never been, so I haven't experienced a 11 p.m. first pitch in Hoover. And I feel like I haven't lived until I've done that. So yeah,
Thing is interesting because I always was like bagging on it and wanted them to do it at Memphis and AutoZone Park or move it around a little bit. And then I started going a couple of years ago, and then now I see why it's there because they got all the RVs set up, and it's just a really
– We'd miss it if it left, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's – you know, the suburb thing's not the best, but, like, it's real convenient. It's cheap to stay. You know, it's – I don't know. It's a cool event, so I'd definitely recommend it.
Well, cool. We'll link up, man, for sure. I appreciate you taking the time. Maybe we can collab on some content when we get down there, so.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks,
all right, Mincy, we'll talk soon, man. Appreciate you.